ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நம. ஜிக்யாசாதிகரணம் அதாத்தோ பிரம்ம ஜிக்யாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத் சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். சாப்டர் 1 பாதா 3 திவ்வாத்யதிகரணம் திவ்வாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வசப்தாத் முக்தோபசுப்ய வ்யபதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத் பிராணபிருச்ச பேத விபேத விபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் ஸ்தித்யதனாப்யாஞ்ச பூமாதிகரணம் பூமா சம்ப்ரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத் தர்மோபபத்தேஸ்ச அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரம் அம்பராந்தர்த்ருதே சாச்ச பிரசாசனாத் அன்யபாவ வியாவ்ருத்தேஸ்ச ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாத் சஹ. திஸ் இஸ் தி 13th சூத்ரா இன் தி 3rd பாதா ஆஃப் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் 76th ரன்னிங் சூத்ரா ஆஃப் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. So we were discussing this adhikaranam and the sutra in the last class, and the mantra in discussion for this sutra is from Prashnopanishad 5th chapter 5th mantra, namely yaha punaretam trimatrena omityetenaiva aksharena param purusham abhidhyayita சதேஜசி சூரியே சம்பன்னஹ யதா பாதோதரஹ த்வசா விநிர்முச்யதே ஏவம் ஹவை சஹ பாப்மனா விநிர்முக்தஹ சஹ சாமாபிருண்ணீயதே பிரம்மலோகம் சஹ ஏதஸ்மா ஜீவதகநாத் பராத்பரம் புரிஷயம் புருஷம் ஈக்ஷதே ததேதௌ ஸ்லோகௌ பவதஹ. So after completing the general analysis and the word analysis of this particular sutra, it was concluded that the term Parapurusha occurring in the Dhyana Vakyam is Paramatma alone, because the same Parapurusha is presented in the Phala Vakyam as an object of knowledge. So that is what the question here. பரம் புருஷம் அபித்யாயீத, தட் இஸ் த தியான வாக்கியம். அண்ட் த சேம் திங் லேட்டர் இஸ் செட் பராத்பரம் புரிஷயம் புரிஷயம் புருஷம் ஈக்ஷதே, தட் இஸ் த பல வாக்கியம். பரபுருஷா இஸ் பரமாத்மா, அண்ட் தேர்ஃபோர் தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன் பரபுருஷா ஆல்சோ இஸ் பரமாத்மா அலோன். That is Dyeya Parapurushaha.
Chaligyaru Hargadanayla.
Nyeyatvat. Then we mentioned, Shankaracharya introduced Purupakshi in his Bhashyam. And the Purupakshi
said, Bhashya hak tumbiti de channake.
You cannot get away with such an easy Somebody's phone is on, microphone is on. Please turn it off. I know who's that. பலவாக்கியம் பரபுருஷா இஸ் பரமாத்மா அலோன் பீயிங் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ், தட் இஸ் அவர் மெயின் கண்டென்ஷன். பட் த பூர்வபக்ஷி சேஸ், இஃப் யூ ஸ்டடி த பலவாக்கியம், டூ பல்ல புருஷாஸ் ஆர் மென்ஷன்ட். ஒன் பரபுருஷா deals with Hiranyagarbha, and there is another Parapurusha, which is Paramatma. Therefore, we have to enumerate Parapurusha number one is Hiranyagarbha and Parapurusha number two is Paramatma, because both are talked about in the Phalavakyam itself. How? The Purvapakshi says, Yetasmat Jivaghanat Parat Param Purusham Ikshate. There are two words here. One word is Parat, Jivaghanat Parat, that Parat, that is in the fifth case. And there is another Param, that is in second case, Param Purusham Ikshate. So with this second Param is followed by the word Purusha. Therefore, the Purvapakshi, he argues, there are two words, para and another parat, followed by the word Purusha. So the first part, first parat, that is in the fifth ablative case, para Purusha number one, we add Purushat. So final reading is going to be what then? Saha. Saha refers to the Upasakaha. So Saha Upasakaha, parat Purushat, param Purusham Ikshate. That is, the Upasaka will know Parapurusha number two, who is greater than Parapurusha number one. Parapurusha number one is Hiranyagarbha, Parapurusha number two is Paramatma, greater than Hiranyagarbha. And the Purvapakshi says, Parapurusha number two, namely, is Paramatma, Parapurusha number one is Hiranyagarbha. Now, if you read the Palavakyam, the Upasaka knows Paramatma, who is superior to Hiranyagarbha. That's what the Palavakyam says. Therefore, the Purvapakshi says, from Palavakyam, we come to know that Parapurusha can be either Hiranyagarbha or Paramatma. That being so, how can you say that the Palavakyam to support the Dhyana Vakya Parapurusha, namely Hiranyagarbha? In Dhyana Vakyam, there is a word Parapurusha. Now we want to know whether the Parapurusha in Dhyana Vakyam is Hiranyagarbha or Paramatma. That is the controversy. The Parapurusha in the Dhyana Vakyam, whether it is Hiranyagarbha or Paramatma. And for clarification, you now come to the Palavakyam, let us say. And in Palavakyam, I cannot solve the problem there. Why? Because in the Palavakyam, Parapurusha is used in both the meanings of Hiranyagarbha and Paramatma. At the same time, when we take Parapurusha in the later mantra, it creates confusion because there are two Parapurushas, namely Hiranyagarbha and Paramatma. Therefore, the Purvapakshi says that the Palavakyam does not support you. But on inquiry, you will know that the Palavakyam supports me only. Who is me? Purvapakshi. Palavakyam supports me only, so don't you take shelter in the Palavakyam for your argument. That's what he says, Purvapakshi says to Vedanta. How? He gives two reasons. One, the Palavakyam says, Sa Tejasi Surye Sampannaha Yatha Padodaraha. Yesterday I told Padodara is all snake and all that. So Yatha Padodaraha Tvacha Minirmuchyate Evam Havai Saha Papmana Vinirmuktaha Saha Sam Saha Sama Abirun Sama Abirunniyate Brahma Lokam. Through Samaveda, I told all that thing. Samaveda Devatas will take you to Brahma Lokam. So the Palavakyam mentions that Upasaka will go to Brahma Loka or Hiranyagarbha Lokam. And therefore, the Purvapakshi says, only if he does Hiranyagarbha Upasana, he will get Hiranyagarbha Praptihi. As the Upanishad, the Upasana is, so is the Phalam that we know all the time. As Krishna says, Pitrun Yanti Pitruvrataha Bhutani Yanti Bhutebhyaha Yanti Deva Vratha Devan. Those who worship the Devatas, they go to Devaloka. Who worship the Pitrus, Pitru Upasanas, Pitru Upasakas will take to Pitru Loka. Similarly, Parapurusha means, and same thing also with Parapurusha, and by doing Hiranyagarbha Upasana, this person, Upasaka, obtains Hiranyagarbha Lokam, Brahma Lokam. This is the first argument of the Purvapakshi. That is, Brahma Loka Prapti indicates Brahma Upasana. When it says Brahma Lokam, then it means Brahma Upasana, that should be Hiranyagarbha Upasana only. Therefore, Parapurusha means here Hiranyagarbha. And he gives another subtler argument also. He says, let us come to the Palavakyam now. This is Dhyanavakyam. And let us go to the Palavakyam. At the end, the Parapurusha is repeated twice. How it is repeated? Parat Purushat and Param Purishayam Purusham Ikshate. So Parapurushaha number one is Hiranyagarbha. Parapurusha number two is Paramatma, that is mentioned. But Parapurusha number one is in the fifth case, as I mentioned earlier, Parat. And Parapurusha number two is in the second case. So now the Purvapakshi argues, if you analyze Parapurusha number one is Hiranyagarbha, it is preceded by a pronoun this. This means what here? Etasmat. The word etasmat is a pronoun this. So jiva ghanat parat. All of them jiva ghanat parat, all in the fifth case. And he argues that the pronoun this, etasmat, can be used only when the object of the pronoun has been already introduced before. For example, first I talk about Rama, and then I say, this Rama is intelligent. So only when I have already introduced to Rama, the pronoun this can be used. So the pronoun this is used for Parapurusha number one, Hiranyagarbha, and it is not used with Parapurusha number two, the Paramatma. Therefore, what can we infer? Parapurusha number one must have been introduced already because of the use of the pronoun yetasmat. Then alone, the pronoun this becomes relevant. So we have to look for its introduction here before. Now the Purvapakshi very triumphantly, he is happy and he says that Parapurusha number one has been introduced already in the Dhyanavakyam. Therefore, if you take Parapurusha in Dhyanavakyam as Hiranyagarbha, then he says in the Palavakyam, the pronoun this will refer to Hiranyagarbha alone. His argument also looks very sound. Whereas Siddhantins, he says, he cannot give this argument because if Dhyanavakya Parapurusha, Paramatma only is introduced, then in the Palavakyam, what will be the problem? Pronoun this can be used only for Paramatma and not with Hiranyagarbha. If Paramatma is introduced in the Dhyanavakyam, then when the pronoun is used later in the Palavakyam, that pronoun should refer to only Paramatma introduced in the Dhyanavakyam and not Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, if Hiranyagarbha is introduced, it should go with Hiranyagarbha. If Paramatma is introduced, it should go with Paramatma. But when we study the Palavakyam, what happens? We see the pronoun this should go with Hiranyagarbha alone. Therefore, in the Dhyanavakyam, Hiranyagarbha alone must have been introduced. So in summary, what are the arguments now? One should meditate upon Paramapurusha Hiranyagarbha. Then he will know the Paramapurusha, Parapurusha, Paramatma, who is superior to this, that pronoun, to this Parapurusha Hiranyagarbha, which has been presented in the as the object of meditation in the Dhyanavakyam. And then this pronoun will tally perfectly. Therefore, the Parapurusha to be meditated is Hiranyagarbha only. And the pronoun also supports all my arguments. So these are the two arguments of Purvapakshi. Namely, argument number one is Brahmaloka Prapti indicates Hiranyagarbha Upasana. A person, as he does Upasana, he gains the same benefit. So he does Upasana of Hiranyagarbha, he goes to Hiranyagarbha Loka. That is Brahmaloka Prapti. Argument number two is the pronoun this being used with Hiranyagarbha, it also indicates that the object of Upasana is Hiranyagarbha only. Now, what is Siddhanti's answer? It should be in two parts. One is we have to refute their argument. First, we have to say what he says is wrong. And then it is not just adequate to refute. We have to also reinforce our answer. What we say is correct. Therefore, Purvapaksha's first argument is what? In the Dhyanavakyam, the Parapurusha must be Hiranyagarbha. That is his argument. Because Palavakyam says Hiranyagarbha Loka Prapti Brahmaloka. For that, what we say? Answer number one, Hiranyagarbha Loka Prapti Brahmaloka Prapti is mentioned, all right. Nothing wrong about it. But it is not mentioned as the ultimate result. That is where we differ. Correct. It is mentioned, but it is not mentioned as the ultimate result. It is mentioned only as an intermediary state. If it is the ultimate result, what will happen? The Upanishad would have stopped with Hiranyagarbha Loka Prapti. It should have just stopped. If it is ultimate result, it should have stopped there. But we find that the mantra continues further. And it says what? Saha, Sama, Sama Birunniyate, Sama Bihi Unniyate, Brahmalokam. Sama Loka, Sama Veda Devatas take him to Brahmalokam. Saha, Sama Bihi Unniyate. The Upanishad does not stop here, but continues saying what? Saha, Etasmat Jiva Ganate, Paratparam Purishayam, Purusham Ikshate. Therefore, the ultimate phala prescribed is Paramatma Jnanam. Hiranyagarbha Loka Prapti is not the phalam, but it is only a middle station, like a train station in the middle. Therefore, Brahmaloka Prapti is not the phalam. Then what is the phalam? Paramatma Jnanam Eva. That is the ultimate phalam. And where that is said? Paratparam Purishayam Purusham Ikshate. That is the Palavakyam. It says Paratparam Purusham Purusham Purishayam Purusham Ikshate. Paramatma Jnanam is the ultimate phalam. Therefore, the sadhana also should be Paramatma Upasana only. So not Hiranyagarbha Upasana. By doing Paramatma Upasana, one gains Paramatma Jnana. Then it will tally. Because as the sadhana is, so will be the palam that they have seen all the time. So Paramatma Upasaka will attain Paramatma Jnana. Therefore, Paramapurusham Abhidhi Abhidhyayita, that prescribes not Hiranyagarbha Upasana, but it prescribes Paramatma Upasana alone. In what form? Omkara Rupena. That we should not forget. So in the form of Omkara, that is the Paramatma Upasana is being prescribed. As we have in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, the 13th sloka. Omityekaksharam Brahma Vyaharan Mamanusmaran Yaprayati Tyajandeham Sayati paramam gatim. Sayati sahayati paramam gatim. In fact, this shloka is exactly the Ikshati Karma Adhikaranam only. Krishna borrows it from all these Upanishads and all these places. Because in both, Omkara Rupena Paramatma Upasana is the topic. Because Krishna says, Omitya Kaksharam Brahma Vyaharan Mamanusmaran. Yaprayati Tyajandeham Sayati paramam gatim. So the first argument of the Purvapakshi is refuted. So what is our answer now? Paramatma Upasanena Paramatma Jnanam Phalam Natu Hiranyagarbha Loka Praptihi. So Paramatma by Paramatma Upasana, one gets Paramatma Jnanam as the Phalam and not Hiranyagarbha Loka Praptihi or Brahma Loka Praptihi. Hiranyagarbha Loka Prapti is only an intermediary stage. Now we will refute the second argument, namely the pronoun argument. We can call it pronoun argument perhaps. So the Purvapakshi says, in the Palavakyam, the word this, etasmat, that this is used along with Hiranyagarbha, and therefore Hiranyagarbha should have been discussed before. That was the argument. Therefore it has been discussed in the Dhyanavakyam. Shankaracharya says, no. He says, your steps are valid up to a point. Thereafter, you commit a mistake. Who is committing mistake? The Purvapakshi. I accept the fact that the pronoun this is used along with Hiranyagarbha in Paravakya. I accept that fact. I also accept the fact, who says, Shankaracharya says, I also accept the fact that therefore Hiranyagarbha must have been discussed before. That is also correct. But your conclusion, therefore, since Hiranyagarbha has been discussed before, we take that the Hiranyagarbha discussed in the Dhyanavakyam. When you say that, I disagree there. Shankara says that the Hiranyagarbha is discussed before the Palavakyam itself, not in the Dhyanavakyam. You don't have to go to the Dhyana Vakyam at all. In the Palavakyam itself, it is discussed before. Where is the Palavakyam now? Shankaracharya says, again go back to the text. Palavakyam is long. So what it says? Saham Tejasi Surye Sampannaha is one Palavakyam. Then Yatha Padodaraha Tvacha Vinirmuchyate. Next. Evam Havai Sapapna Vinirmuktaha. That is the second Palavakyam. Then Saham Sam Samabirunniyate Brahmalokam. Brahmaloka has been discussed in the Palavakyam itself. And there in the word Brahmalokam, there is a reference to Brahma, which refers to Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha has been already introduced in the Palavakyam. You don't have to go to the Dhyanavakyam at all. Brahmavakyam has been already introduced in the Hiranyagarbha. It's already introduced in the Palavakyam in the word Brahmaloka. It says, Saham Samabirunniyate Brahmalokam. So there is a reference to Brahma, which refers to Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha has been already introduced in the Palavakyam, in the word Brahmalokam, not in the Dhyanavakyam, which says Paramatma Upasana only. And thereafter, the pronoun Yetasmat or this does not refer to Hiranyagarbha in the Dhyanavakyam. And on the other hand, the pronoun refers to Hiranyagarbha occurring in the word Brahmaloka. Whereas you say in the Dhyanavakyam, I say in the Palavakyam itself, Hiranyagarbha has been introduced. And superior to that Hiranyagarbha, the Paramatma is there. And that Paramatma, he comes to know, this Upasaka comes to know. So according to my answer, the full translation is that what? One should meditate upon Paramatma. Then he will know that Paramatma, who is superior to this Hiranyagarbha, who is in Brahmaloka. One should meditate upon Paramatma, then he will know that Paramatma as what? Superior to this Hiranyagarbha mentioned by that pronoun, who is in Brahmaloka. Don't go to Dhyanavakyam at all. Therefore, the pronoun refers to Palavakyastha Hiranyagarbha. The Hiranyagarbha occurring in the Palavakyam itself. Natum Dhyanavakyastham Hiranyagarbha. Not in the Dhyanavakyam. So Shankaracharya discusses three more arguments also. And he says, in the Palavakyam, Para is mentioned indicating Parapurusha. That is Hiranyagarbha as also the Paramatma. So the word Parat, there is a Parat, that word is there. And then he supplies the word Purusha. And then there is again Param Purusham occurring in the mantra. So Parat Purushaha Ikshate, there are two Parapurusha, one referring to Hiranyagarbha and the other indicating Paramatma. And in Dhyanavakyam, one Parapurusha is said. We say it should be Paramatma alone. And when the Purupakshi says in the Palavakyam, the word Parapurusha is used to refer Hiranyagarbha, we find that the Parapurusha there is not fully used by the Upanishad in the meaning of Hiranyagarbha, but it is only used to indicate the Paramatma. In our case, the word Param and the word Purusham both mean Paramatma only. Param and Purusham both mean Paramatma only. We have got full reference to Parapurusha in the sense of Paramatma. This is the third argument. And the fourth argument also is relatively simple argument Shankaracharya gives. He says, in the Dhyanavakyam, the Upanishad says, Param Purusham Abhidhyayita. So Purvapakshi doubts Parapurusha is Hiranyagarbha or Paramatma. And the word Para, if used, it means the highest as per the dictionary. Whenever you use Para, Paralokam and all, highest lokam. Parapurushaha, here means Hiranyagarbha, can be great, all right, no problem. But it can never be the greatest. Virat cannot be greatest. Hiranyagarbha, Virat cannot be the greatest. And Param refers only to Paramatma, which is the greatest than even Hiranyagarbha, Virat. And according to the rules of interpretation, we have to first try to use the Mukhyartha. This all this Mukhyartha, Vishayartha, Visheshartha, all that I have told earlier, Yogartha, all that, Rudyartha, all that thing we have seen earlier. So we have to first try the Mukhyartha and only if it fails, we have to go for the secondary meaning. So first we try to fit in with the primary meaning, the mukhya artha, and it is paramatma. And therefore, dhyana vakyam says, may you meditate upon paramatma. This primary meaning then will fit properly. There is no problem at all. And when the primary meaning fits in properly, why you take all other meanings at all and try to contest our argument? Who is asking whom? Siddhantin asked Purvapakshi. And other Upanishad statements also support our view. It is supported by the Kathopanishad. In the first chapter, third section, 10th mantra, it says, Indriyebhyaha parahyartham artyebhyascha param manaham manasastu parabuddhihi buddheratma mahan paraha. That is the first chapter, third section, 10th mantra. Followed by the next mantra in Kathopanishad itself, Mahata param avyaktam avyaktat purusha paraha purushanna param kinchit sa kashta sa paragatihi. What is the superior most purusha? And it talks about a graded level, and it comes to atma as parapurusha, atma paramatma. So the Upanishad says, saha na param kinchit, there is no other parapurusha at all other than atma. Parapurusha as atma is the primary meaning. As it fits properly, the parapurusha means paramatma alone. And then another argument, the fifth and the final argument also Acharya gives, he says, it talks about the phalam of paramatma jnanam. While talking about it, the Upanishad says that the phalam as sarva papa vinirmuktaha. In the mantra that we read, all this was there. Sarva papa vinirmuktaha. So sarva papa nasha, that is the phalam. All sins are removed, destroyed for this upasana. And Shankaracharya argues, sarva papa nasha is possible only in the case of paramatma jnanam alone. All papas, sanchita papas, agami papas, everything is destroyed only by jnanam only, paramatma jnanam, and not by Hiranyagarbha dhyanam or Hiranyagarbha upasana. Hiranyagarbha upasana can give purity and not absolute purity. Because of this reason also, this upasana must be paramatma upasana only. Shankaracharya concludes and he establishes parapurusha is paramatma alone. Now let us summarize the inclusion, the adhikaranam. As we know, it should discuss five factors. This we all know that. So number one is vishayaha, the subject matter. And the subject matter is the word parapurusha occurring in the fifth chapter, fifth mantra of Prashnopanishad, which reveals the object of Omkara meditation. Then the doubt, samshayaha. The doubt is what? Whether the Parapurusha is the Paramatma or Hiranyagarbha is the doubt. Whether Paramatma is the Karanam Brahma or Karyam Brahma is the question. And the Purvapakshi says, Parapurusha is Hiranyagarbha. And the Siddhanti's conclusion is what? Parapurusha is Paramatma alone. And our main reason is what? Parapurusha Jnanam is given as the Phalam. In the Palavakyam, Parapurusha Jnanam is given. If that is the Phalam, then the Parapurusha has to be Paramatma alone. Then only you can gain Jnanam. Hiranyagarbha Jnanam cannot be Phalam, because it does not give any benefit at all. By knowing Hiranyagarbha, you don't get moksha. One can go maybe up to Hiranyagarbha Prapti, that's all, Brahmaloka Prapti. And then also again, one has to try to get moksha. And the fifth factor is Sangatihi. Sangatihi, as I told this, is always a technical reason for this. So this Adhikaranam is occurring in its appropriate place only. So with this, the Ikshati Karma Adhikaranam is over. Here the Paramatma revealed is what? Paramatma as an object of meditation, unlike the previous Adhikaranam. There we established Brahman alone as the subject matter. It was not Upasyam Brahman, but it was Nyayam Brahman earlier. Now it is Upasyam Brahman, the object of knowledge. So in this Adhikaranam, it is meant for Upasana and not, this is not the other one. Now let us go to the next topic, that is topic number 5. Daharadhikaranam, next Adhikaranam. And the shloka is Dahara Uttarebhyaha. Dahara Uttarebhyaha. 14th mantra, 14th sutra of the third pada, first chapter, 77th running sutra, Brahma Sutra. So this is a very a big adhikaranam, and it is known as Dahara Adhikaranam. Dahara Adhikaranam. This has got 8 sutras. And in this adhikaranam, Vyasacharya analyzes a Chandogya mantra, mantra number 8.1.1, 8th chapter, first section, first mantra. And what is that mantra? Atha editham asmin brahmapure daharam pundarikam veshma daharosmin antarakashaha tasmin yadantas tadanveshtyam tadvavam vijignasitavyam iti. And Chandogya Upanishad talks about an upasana in this section, which is known as Daharopasana. Daharopasana. And the upasana reveals Dahara Akasha in this mantra. Dahara Akasha. So the Upanishad takes the typical body and names it as Brahmapuram. The body is named as Brahmapuram. And this itself is a beautiful name. Brahmapuram means it is an abode of Brahman. The body is compared to a temple. Brahman, Paramatma, and Puram, the abode. Actually, in Mundaka Upanishad also, physical body is compared to temple and all we have seen. Heart is the sanctum, and Paramatma is the resident of the temple, all that we have seen. So within Brahmapuram, Daharam Pundarikam Veshma. Pundarika means Hridaya, the heart. That is similar to the lotus bud. In the bud form, the heart is visualized, Pundarikam, as a lotus bud, in the bud form. And Veshma, Veshma means is the sthanam, is the abode. So Daharam means a small Hridaya sthanam. And every human being has got a physical body, and every body has got a lotus-like heart, which is very beautiful. Already the heart is small, and within that heart, there is a small space, akashaha. So dahara akashaha means alpa akashaha. It is the object of inquiry here. The space within the heart. And according to our interpretation, it is chidakasha, and this is nothing but consciousness. Here akasha refers to chaitanya. Ah means everywhere. Kashaha means manifest. Akasha means chaitanyam, which is small as it were. For this tasmin yadantaha, we have got two interpretations here, and we will take the first one. It is the repetition of asmin antarakashaha. This means tasmin hridaye antarakashaha. Tasmin hridaye, within that heart. Chaitanya antarakashaha, chaitanya akasha is there within that heart. And that Dahara Akasha, one should inquire into. So Tadvava Vijignasitavyam. One should know this. Tadvava Vijignasitavyam. And within the Dahara Akasha, the small heart, there is Brahman. And that Dahara Akasha, within the heart, one should inquire into. And one should know, and one should meditate upon that Dahara Akasha. So Daharakasha Upasana is prescribed in this section of this Adhikarana. It is to be meditated upon as the Lord, in whom the whole world is residing. And the Lord is space-like Lord. We have to note the beauty of this Upasana. Brahman is formless, that we all know. And we cannot think of a formless Brahman. Therefore, the Upanishad gives various forms to Brahman, because we cannot think formless Brahman. So Nirvisesham Param Brahman, which is attributeless, and most people are helpless in recognizing this Nirgunam Brahman. And for those, the Upanishad compassionately consider them by presenting ವಿ ಸಗುಣಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ. ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಟು ಅಸ್. ಈವನ್ ದೋ ದೇ ಇನಿಷಿಯಲಿ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಇನ್ ಸಗುಣ ಫಾರ್ಮ್, and the Upanishad does not want us to remain in Sagunam Brahman permanently. Therefore, the Upanishad wants to elevate us to Nirgunam Brahman, and the Sagunam Brahman is gradually refined to do that. And in this process, the highest form of Sagunam Brahman, the most refined Sagunam Brahman, and Akasha is as good as attributeless. It does not have any of the other attributes. That is why Om Kam Brahma, we have seen this upasana earlier. Om Kam Brahma is an upasana that is Akasa upasana. Kam means Akasha. First the Upanishad pointed out Sagunam Brahman and then elevated us to Akasha upasana, and we have come to now formless God. From Saguna upasana we come to Akasha, formless God. And as long as you see the external God, there will be what? Dvaitam. And Upanishad wants to refine us further, and enough of meditating upon external Akasha, now to meditate upon the Dahara Akasha. Look at the Akasha in your own Hridayam. Don't look out. So according to the real rule, sannyasis are not supposed to do the physical puja of God at all. And they are supposed to do Dahara Akasha Upasana only. The Lord as external object is the first state. And the Lord as an external Akasha is the second state. And Lord as the internal Akasha, Dahara Akasha, is the third state. And the fourth state is not Upasana, but knowing the Lord as inner Akasha. So in the third state, I imagine the Lord as Akasha. But in the fourth state, I recognize Lord as inner space. Now, what are we supposed to analyze in Dahara Akasha? What is the inner space called about in this mantra? Purvapakshi says, inner space is Bhuta Akasha. Akasha as an element that is talked about. And we are going to say the word Akasha, the primary meaning is Akasha, the element. And here, as a special case, we have to take Dahara Akasha as inner space. Now we will do the general analysis of this first sutra. In the first sutra, Vyasacharya says, inner space within heart is Brahman only. The inner space within the heart is Brahman only. And Shankaracharya says, the heart talked about in the Upanishad is the regular heart, the fleshy heart, which is seen inside. And the word heart is used in two meanings. And one is the physical, the pumping heart. Acharya writes like that. It's a pumping physical heart. And this is the mukhyartha of this heart. And there is a lakshyartha also, implied meaning. According to Shastras, the physical heart is the abode of the mind. When? At the time of sleep. Heart happens to be the residence of the mind. Mind in waking state runs all over the body. The mind is behind the ears, mind is behind the eyes, mind is behind the tongue, everywhere. Therefore, in certain context, the word Hridayam represents the mind located in the Hridayam. And when you talk of heart, heart attack and all that, it means what? The physical heart only. And if you say, I have given the heart to him or her, in all such cases, you cannot take it literally as the physical heart. Here, heart means the mind. So within the heart, there is Brahman alone. It is so because of the description of the inner space given later. We'll see that. So the later description is that of Brahman and not of elemental space, Akasha. So when we study the mantra, we find the later description refers to Brahman only. Now let us do the word analysis for this sutra. There are two words here. One is Daharaha. Daharaha means the small, and Akasha means space. So Daharakasa means the small inner space within the lotus, the heart. and heart within the body is called Brahmapuram, which is mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad, 8th chapter, 1st section, 1st mantra. So this is the meaning of Daharaha. And the next word is Brahman. So Daharaha, Brahman. The small place within the heart is Brahman. And Uttarebhyaha, from the subsequent text or expression or arguments, Uttara means later, subsequent. So the later description is given in the very same Chandogya Upanishad. We did all the arguments based on mantra 8.1.1. And the later mantras, it gives the description. And this is not of much use here. We have to supply the word Paramatma or Brahman. So Daharaha, Brahman, Uttarebhyaha. So the later description is given in the later sutras. So even though Vyasacharya gives out the later description, here Shankaracharya brings about some of the important later descriptions to support our conclusion. Shankaracharya says the later mantra and later portion of the mantra, later mantra and later portion of this mantra itself in support of our conclusion. Seven descriptions and seven features are brought out by Shankaracharya in support of our view. We will see each feature along with the relevant mantra also. So elaborate discussion. So the first relevant mantra is 8.1.1 that we just read of Chandogya Upanishad. Om Atha Yedidam Asmin Brahmapure Daharam Pundarikam Veshmam Daharosmin Antarakashaham Tasmin Yadantas Tadanveshtyam Anveshtavyam Tadvava Vijignasitavyam Iti. So what does this mantra says? This body is the city of Brahman, Brahmapuram. Within it, there is an abode in the shape of a lotus in the heart. And within that, there is a small space, Daharakasha. And one must search within this space and earnestly desire to know what is there. That is the Brahman. So Antarakasha comes in the middle of the mantra. In the end, it uses tad anveshtavyam, that Daharakasa should be inquired into anveshtavyam. So first feature is what? Inquirability. It should be inquired. It deserves to be inquired into the Daharakasha, which is the point of controversy here. That should be known. That should be recognized and realized. Therefore, the second feature is what? First feature is what? Inquirability. And second thing is knowability or realizability. So second feature. So Shankaracharya says these two features, that is Daharakasa should be inquired into, it should be known and realized. They are possible when Daharakasa is Brahman only, not anything else. If not, the Upanishad will not ask us to know about Akasha, the elemental space. If it is going to be elemental space, if it is Daharakasha is only elemental space, it is not going to ask us that it is to be known and realized. Elemental Akasha, everybody knows. It is Paurushaya Vishaya. Elemental Akasha is Paurushaya Vishaya. By knowing Akasha, we will not get any prayojanam at all of the study or inquiry. This is possible only when Daharakasha is Brahma. So these two features support our conclusion that Daharakasha is Brahma. Then we will go to the next mantra, mantra number 3 of Chandogya. And here further description is given about the Daharakasha. What the mantra says? Tam ched bruyuhum yaditam asmin brahmapure daharam pundarikam veshmam daharosmin antarakashah kim tadatra vidyate yadanve yat anveshtavyam yadvavam vijignasatavyam iti sabruyat. For example, if the student asks, this body is the city of Brahman, within it is there is an abode in the shape of a lotus, and then within there is a small space, what is that one must search for within this space? And what should one earnestly desire to know? So the teacher has to reply to that now. Here it says, Dharakasa is seemingly small, but it is as big as outer space. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan. Thus, the Upanishad compares Dharakasa to all-pervading elemental space or Sarvagata Bhuta Akasha. This is the third feature. And the fourth feature is, in this Dharakasha alone, everything is based. Sarvam asmin samahitam. The entire creation is based on the Dharakasha. And it is Sarva Adharaha. It has Sarva Adharatvam. So these two features are possible only when Dharakasha is Brahman and not otherwise. Dharakasa is compared to Bhutakasha, if it is compared. So the very fact that Dharakasha is compared to Bhutakasha shows that it is not Bhutakasha. Because when you compare it with somebody, that means it's not the same. The definition of comparison is what? If X is similar to Y, first condition is X is different from Y. Though the difference from X is has many common features with Y, our point is what? X should be different from Y. Since Dharakasha is compared to Bhutakasha, elemental akasha, it is not elemental akasha at all. So Sarva Adharatvam. So Dharakasha is said to be the substratum of everything. And akasha is relatively Sarva Adhara, and akasha is not Adhara of akasha itself. Akasha is Sarva Adhara, all right. But akasha is not Adhara of akasha itself. Akasha is support of everything, and akasha is not a supporter of akasha itself. Akasha is supported by what? By Brahman. And therefore, Dharakasha must be Brahman only. Now we will go to the mantra 8.1.5 of Chandogya. And that mantra says, Saha Bruyat Nasyam Jarayetat Jiryati Na Vade Nasya Hanyatam Etat Satyam Brahmapuram Asmika Asmin Kamaha Samahitaha Yesha Atmam Apahata Papma Vijaraham Vimrityuhu Vishokaham Vijigatsaham Apipasaham Satyakamaham Satyasankalpaham Yatahe Veha Prajam Anvavishantim Yatam Anushasanam Yam Yamantam Abhikama Bhavanti. Yam Janapadam Yam Kshetra Bhagam Tam Tameva Upajivanti. All these mantras we have discussed elaborately in Chandogya. So the body, it may decay due to old age, but the space within the Brahmapura, that never decays. Body may decay due to old age, but that space, Brahmapura, within the Brahmapura, doesn't. Nor does it perish with the death of the body. There are very high revelations. This is the real abode of Brahman. All desires, they are all concentrated in that. It is the self, free from all sins. And as well as from old age, death, bereavement, hunger, thirst. Upanishad says all this. It is the cause of love and truth. Cause of dedication to truth, satyam. If a person strictly follows whatever the ruler of a country, for example, a king says, he commands, then that person might get a reward, like a land or some estate. Mantra says all that. So the idea is that what? An ignorant person may get whatever he wants as the fruit of his actions, but he remains still bound. He is never relieved. That is the substance of this mantra. And here two features are given. One is Yeshaha Atma. Not only it uses the word Atma, it says Apahata Papma Vijaraha Vimrityuha Vishokaha Vijigastaha. The Dharakasha is the Paramatma, and that Atma which has got 8 virtues, it lists, which are free from papam, free from old age, death, dukkham, hunger, thirst, and it is with all fruitful desires, unfailing desires, then satya sankalpa, unfailing sankalpas, which means all kinds of plans, These are all the 8 glories of Dharakasha. Before that, Yesha Atma, that Atmatvam is also said. So in this mantra, that means two features are given, that it is the very Atma, Atmatvam, and it is endowed with 8 glories, Dharakasha. And Shankaracharya says, these glories belong to Brahman only and not to Bhutakasha or elemental Akasha space. Bhutakasha can never be described as Atma at all. And Vimrityuho. Vimrityuho means without death. And it cannot fit into Bhutakasha and it has got Janma. Tasmad vaye tasmad atmana akasha sambhutaha. Akasha is created. It came from Brahman. Therefore, we have got 6 features to conclude that Dharakasha is Brahman. Dharakasha has 8 glories. But we had 6 features to conclude that Dharakasha is Brahman. Tadyateha karmajito lokaha kshiyate evameva amutra punyajito lokaha kshiyate tadyaiha atmanam anuvidyam brajantim etagumscham satyakamam stesham sarveshu lokeshu akamacharo bhavati ataya ఇహ ఆత్మానం అనువిద్యం ప్రజంత్యేత ప్రజంత్యేతాగుంశ్చం సత్యకామాస్తేషాం సర్వేషు లోకేషు కామచారో భవతి. దిస్ ఇస్ ది 6th మంత్ర, దట్ ఇస్ ది 8th చాప్టర్ ఫస్ట్ సెక్షన్ 6th మంత్ర. వి ఆర్ సీయింగ్ ది సేమ్ సెక్షన్ ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్ ది 8th చాప్టర్. వి ఆర్ సీయింగ్ వేరియస్ మంత్రాస్ టు సపోర్ట్ వేరియస్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్స్. సో ఎవ్రీథింగ్ పెరిషస్ mantras, everything perishes, whether it is something you have acquired through hard work in this world or it is a place in the other world also, whichever you have acquired through meritorious deeds, all punya karmas. So those who leave the world without knowing the self, the atma and all the truths which they should know, they are not free, they are still bound. No matter where they go, they can go up to Satyaloka. But those who leave this world after knowing the self and the Satyam, which they should know, they are free. No matter where they are. Acharya says all that thing very vehemently in so many places. So the gist of the mantra is what? That all the karma palams are finite in nature. But the knowledge of Dharakasha gives infinite phala. It is ananta palavattam. And that Dharakasha can give infinite result. And if it had been Bhutakasha, elemental space, it will not give infinite results at all. When the Akasha itself is finite, because it is something created. Thus, because of these 7 features occurring later in the Chandogya Upanishad itself, we should conclude that Dharakasha is Atma itself. And Shankaracharya gives one more additional reason also in this sutra. This physical body is Brahmapura. We already saw that. Because Dharakasha happens to be Brahman. And if it had been Bhutakasha, elemental Akasha, it would have never been named as Brahmapura. And this title occurs where? In the 8th chapter, 1st section, 1st mantra of Chandogya. Om ata yedidam asmin brahmapure daharam pundarikam veshma asmin brahmapure. Actually in Maharayana Upanishad, also of Taittiriya Upanishad, there is a section called Dahara Vidya, which starts like anorani yan mahato mahiyan atma guhayam nikitosya jantoho tamakratum pashyati vita shoko dhatu prasadan mahimanamisham. All these give us the clue that Dharakasha is Brahman and Brahmapuram means it is the residence of Brahman. We should not go through the arguments why it says residence when its residence is located and all. Those arguments and all we have already seen. It is located in the heart also. We already said all that. So the Purvapakshi now comes and he raises an objection. How can you describe the body as residence of the body? You say Brahman is residence of everything. How can that Brahman have a miserable residence like the body? How can the physical body be the residence of Brahman? Here the residence is as though residence. not real residents, as though residents. Because when you say this is the residence of Rama, let us say, then you can meet Rama in that place. It indicates that this is the place where Rama is. You can go meet him there. So that person is available in the residence. Body is the residence of Brahman, are recognizable or contactable in the body. So Brahmapuram means Brahman obtaining in the body. And this view is supported in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the 5th chapter, where Lord says, Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. The embodied soul who has controlled his nature, having renounced all actions inwardly, he dwells at ease in the city of 9 gates, Navadvare Pure Dehi. Neither working, nor kurvan, nor karayan, nor causing work to be done. And the same idea is expressed in Kathopanishad also. Puram Ekadashadvaram Ajasya Avakrachetasaha Anushtayana Shochatim Vimuttascha Vimuchyate Yetad Vaitat. This body of 11 gates is indeed of the unborn, even-minded self. Avakraha Chetasaha. Having meditated upon this, the Upasaka, the seeker, he does not grieve anymore. And the liberated one, the people who are liberated, is ever liberated. They don't have to assume another body. So it is very clear that body is Brahmapuram, and Brahman resides in that. And with this Shankaracharya's commentary, then we will now conclude this Vyakhyanam of the Sutra also. Now we will go to the next Sutra in the next class, Saturday 928. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Yappara Samaheshwaraha Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.